Well, you know, we had a sense that the summer of 2010 was the worst ever. I think a lot of people did. So we decided to look at the data and see. And in fact, what it shows is that for many Americans, it really was the hottest summer ever. But moreover, we found that it was particularly hot at night. We were not getting the overnight cooling that one can normally count on to get a little bit of relief overnight. We saw that at nearly one in four weather stations across the country, they set an all-time record for the hottest overnight temperatures.
And why do hot overnight temperatures matter?
The hot temperatures at night are a particular problem for the elderly and low-income individuals who may not have access to air conditioning because they have more trouble adjusting to the heat, and the stress that gets built up during the day, during the high daily temperatures, normally you get some relief from that overnight. And if you don't have that, that can be a real significant health impact.
In Florida, this effect was also evident. You found in your report, it says in the five weather stations that are around the Tampa Bay area, 2010 set a local record for the hottest average summer temperatures at one of those, and 2010 was among the top five hottest summers at the four other stations in our area. What can you tell us about Florida and the Southeast and why you think it's hotter in this area than it's been in the past?
Right. And across Florida, we looked at 22 weather stations that NOAA tracks, and at 21 of them, they had among the five hottest overnight low temperatures on record. So this is throughout the state. And we saw similar patterns, perhaps not as extreme, throughout most of the eastern United States, east of the Mississippi. And what we're seeing is these high temperatures that are a part of a global trend. And, you know, if it was just one isolated hot summer, you probably couldn't draw much of a conclusion. But what we've seen from NASA is that from January through August of 2010 is the hottest 8-month period on record globally. And that comes on top of the hottest decade on record from 2000 through 2009, which itself supplanted the 1990s as the hottest decade on record. So we're seeing a global trend, and then the eastern U.S. was a very strong manifestation of that this year.
Why should Floridians care that the climate is getting that much hotter?
You know, there's a lot of effects. The temperature itself is an issue, as I said. Particularly these high overnight temperatures are very stressful. I mean, for people who have air conditioning, it sort of makes us a prisoner of our air conditioned buildings, and we don't get to enjoy the outdoors that people came to Florida for. But beyond that, we're seeing, of course, the higher ocean temperatures, which fuel stronger hurricanes, obviously a big concern, and then we're seeing, you know, increases in both droughts and floods because a warmer atmosphere holds more water, and that means when it's dry, you evaporate water more quickly, and a lot of Florida is also at risk of water shortages as a result of the increasing stress due to this high rates of evaporation. When we do get storms, you tend to get storms in bigger downpours, which can also increase flooding. So there's a range of effects that we're really beginning to see.
And of course, there's political discussion about how to deal with climate change and passing legislation to control carbon emissions. What are the ramifications for that?
Well, unfortunately, legislation that would have required steady reductions in carbon pollution stalled out in the U.S. Senate this year. The House had passed a bill that would have really moved us forward, but as a result of a sort of minority that was doing the bidding of the oil industry and big coal companies, it couldn't move forward in the Senate. You know, the fact that senators didn't want to deal with this problem doesn't make it go away, obviously. We're seeing those effects now. The good news is that the Environmental Protection Agency has the authority and responsibility to start limiting pollution that causes global warming. That they're moving that. And so, given that Congress wasn't able to help us move forward in a comprehensive way, you know, the least they can do is get out of the way and not interfere with EPA doing its job. So that's one thing that we're looking for. I think on the other side, you know, there's a certain amount of global warming at this point that we can't avoid, and we need to be better prepared for that, for these intense heat waves. We need better public health monitoring, places where people who don't have access to air conditioning can get some relief, and monitoring for the spread of new infectious diseases. So, you know, I think what we really need to do is reduce the pollution that's causing global warming so that we can avoid unmanageable effects, and then we can have to manage the effects that we can no longer avoid.